This is the Tesla Academy podcast series, July 2013. We're here with Russell Anderson in Valley Forge Park. And Russell, we're getting into the idea of the unifying principle of the universe. And there's electromagnetism and there's gravity. Basically, how do they relate to time and motion and to each other?
Well, you got to go back to relativity. Now, relativity is full of holes. There are some gems in there, but Einstein himself said, you know, if you find anything wrong with relativity, you can't, you know, just, you know, repair it piecemeal and still call it a valid theory. However, relativity and the unified field theory, and Einstein's unified field theory for gravitation and electricity, is quite competent. Unified field theory was released in Prussian science journal Annalen der Physik way back on January 10th, 1929, and released to the New York Times 2 days later. But you got to realize that one of the basic tenets of relativity is correct, that energy and mass are equivalent. What does it also say? You can bend the fabric of space with a large localized concentration of mass or a large localized concentration of electromagnetic energy, energy and mass being equivalent. Really, when you get right down to it, mass is nothing more than atoms, molecules, and made up of atoms, and atoms are made up of subatomic particles, which are basically electric charges without substance. So you see that everything is energy. So we can slow down time, bend time, access gravitational fields with large localized concentration of mass or a large localized concentration of energy. And it's pretty obvious that if you are able to generate a large localized concentration of energy and polarize it, you can access gravitational fields for inertialess spaceflight at any speed you want without inertia.
Without inertia. Now, that's an interesting concept to pause and consider, because inertia just means that something's going to keep on the way it's been going and it's going to want to do that. It's like you push a car along and pretty soon it gets easier. And that's inertia right there. Now, when you're talking about inertia relative to gravity on a more cosmic level, or on a level where you're trying to engineer a system to take advantage of this, how do you get it to not be there?
Well, you've got to realize in field-propelled systems, the atoms and molecules and everything that's within that field is only subject to that field, only subject to that superimposed field, and does not react with the universe at all anymore. It's the same thing as standing on the Earth. We're immersed in a gravitational field. This Earth of ours is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour and careening, falling around the Sun at around 67,000 miles an hour. Anything less than that and it would fall into the Sun. And in an elliptical orbit, not a circular orbit, so we're accelerating and decelerating by vast amounts twice a year. So we don't feel any of that because we're immersed in a gravitational field. It's the same thing if you're in a force field propelled vehicle. Every atom of ship and payload is moving at the same rate. There's no force coming from any one point on the vehicle. As long as you're inside that field, that force field, you're not subject to any inertia. You're moving at the same rate as the superimposed field, the provided field. There's no freight cars effect of motion transferring to atom, to atom, to atom, to atom, to atom, until it transfers through the whole substance. There's none of that with field propulsion. Every atom of ship and payload is moving at the same rate. And we see this with Thomas Townsend Brown's experiments By 1938, Thomas Townsend Brown had discovered, with small model boats with charged rim segments, that animals and plant passengers on board feel no stresses whatsoever, no matter how sharp a turn or whatever speed. They feel nothing. And that's significant and important when you realize this is exactly what we see in UFO reports, sightings, videotapes and films going way back to the 1940s. We see that these devices seem to have no inertia. They make no noise. They make right angle turns at multi-Mach speeds, and they have no sonic boom. We also see this lack of sonic boom in T. Townsend Brown's and Professor Searle's experimental craft. And we also see that in experiments by Northrop Corporation in the late 1960s. And they discovered that electrified leading edges of airfoils cancel sonic boom. So there's all kinds of advantages to field effect propulsion that you don't have in internal combustion propulsion.
Wow, that is a lot of engineering data that I think will prove useful to anyone who goes into this field. Thank you very much.